Jesus I shall see.
Hallelujah.
When I look upon his face,
oh,
the one who saved me by his grace.
Oh, yeah.
When he takes me by the hand,
hallelujah,
and leads me through the promised land.
What a day,
glorious day that will be.
Oh,
what a day that will be.
When
my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land.
What a day.
What a day. Glorious day that will be.
Someone pull up right.
And there is coming a day when no heartache shall come. No more clouds in the sky, and no more tears to fill our eyes. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be.
Day, church.
When my Jesus I shall see.
Hallelujah.
When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land.
What a day, what a day.
What a day, glorious day that will be.
Oh, Shamoy,
and when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be.
My car. Coming home from Anderson, South Carolina, where I'd gone to preach. I want to preach today from the book of St. John. And the title of my message will be The Measure of a Man. when his passion is for Christ. The measure of a man when his passion is for Christ. I want you to listen carefully. I'm believing the Holy Ghost to help me. Our camp meeting begins 2 weeks away from tomorrow night. Tomorrow night, camp meeting time. We've got great preachers coming, great men of God, but we don't want them to walk into a dead, cold atmosphere. We want them to move into an atmosphere already burning with fire, already alive with the sweet anointing of the Holy Ghost. And I'm believing for that with all my heart. And I pray that this message can help somehow add a little to that. St. John chapter 1, and we'll begin reading with verse 1. St. John 1, we'll read 1 through 5, and then verse 14. Listen carefully. Listen carefully. The measure of a man when his passion is for Christ. The measure of a man when his passion is for Christ. I tried to think and let the Lord help me come my mind back through the Bible. Who was the man in the Old Testament who would we honor with one of the greatest passions for Christ in the Old Testament? And who was the man in the New Testament that we would honor with great passion for Jesus Christ? I believe in the old it would be Moses. I believe Moses was a man with that kind of passion. And then in the New Testament, it would have to be John. John, the disciple that leaned upon his breast, that loved the Lord Jesus with heart and soul. His book, St. John, is one of the greatest books you will ever dive into. I remember the camp meeting speaker who at that year was Cecil Knight, standing in the camp meeting over here on Wilkerson Boulevard. I must have been about 27, 26 maybe. And he made a challenge. He challenged every young person. And I was a little above the teenage years, but I loved the challenge and I took it. He said, I challenge you to read the book of John on your knees. Read it over a matter of 2 or 3 or 4 weeks. Don't read it one time, read it over. And then read it again, at least 3 times. And he said, while you're reading the book of John, I want you to cease all praying for anything else but one simple prayer. I want you to ask for the privilege, for the joy of seeing the Lord in that Bible, of the Lord becoming visible to you as you search the book of St. John. And I remember going home from camp meeting, going to the sanctuary there in Rockwell, getting on my knees every night in that altar and staying there for lengthy periods of time. Night after night, I read the book of John. I read it slowly. I read it methodically. I looked for every little nook and corner, every little nuance, everything in the book. And I'll never forget the night down near the end when the back door opened, or at least I thought I heard it open. And I turned, and the Lord had come to visit me. I didn't see him, but oh, he was there in such a manner that till this day I have never forgotten. It planted a love in my heart for Christ that throbs this very morning. There's been times when it waned, but somehow by prayer it would return. So listen to St. John, just these 6 verses, 1 through 5 and then 14. In the beginning was the Word, that's capital W, meaning the Lord. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness, the darkness comprehended it not. And the darkness comprehended it not. Verse 14. Verse 14. And the Word was made flesh. Now everything you see in those first 5 verses, now you see in verse 14, becomes flesh. Becomes flesh. becomes flesh, the Lord Jesus in his fleshly body. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt, actually walked and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. They saw his glory, full of grace and truth. When they looked upon him, they knew as time progressed in his visitation among them that he was the Christ. He was the eternal Son of God. What a transformation it made. Father, help your servant to preach this morning. Let somehow the whole idea of the measure of a man be seen in the light of his passion for Jesus Christ. I pray for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Father, help me preach. You may be seated. In Jesus' name. Now, this message is important to me because I believe I have had most of the years of my Christian life a deep and powerful love for Jesus Christ. I look back and find times when that love seemed to have waned. Maybe I wasn't praying as I should. Maybe I was too busy with things, building churches, building parsonages. I cannot answer. But I know the passion to love Jesus Christ is the greatest mark of maturity and spiritual success of any statement or anything I could ever say. The measure of a man of God is the measure of his passion for Jesus Christ. His passion for Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is not someone who wants to just be known as your Savior. He is not someone who just wants to be known as the eternal Son of God. He's not someone just to be known as the crucified, resurrected Lord. He wants to be known as your friend. He wants to be known as someone you know intimately. He wants to be known as someone that has made his mark upon your life until loving him becomes a way of life. I don't believe there's anything in the Christian walk that is more imperative than learning to love the Lord Jesus Christ. Learning to manifest that love. To let that love flow out of your lips. Whether it's a song or whether it's a sermon. Or whether it's a testimony, or whatever it might be, teaching a Sunday school lesson. The love of Jesus Christ needs to be a source of possession. A source of possession. That you become so in love with him, that talking to him is not casting words out into the distance. It's not just lifting your voice loud enough to be heard, but rather the flowing of the emotion of the heart that makes the Lord Jesus know that you are in love with him. That makes the Lord Jesus know that he is special in your life and that you desire to love him. I want to tell you this morning that as I have prayed and fasted and sought him now for some 12 months, maybe 13, that I've never wanted anything to possess me like I want to be possessed by the love of Jesus Christ. I want to be possessed by it. I want it to become so real in me and so mighty in me that for it to flow out of me is to let the very being of Joe Chambers rise up to praise and magnify and bless the name of the Lord. I want to love him. I want to love him with all of my heart. I want to love him with all of my heart. Now, John the Revelator was passionately committed to the divinity of Jesus Christ and every word of his gospel according to St. John. That whole gospel is a divine revelation of the divine Jesus Christ and a manifested of that divinity and that glory. You see his supernatural person over and over in this great book. As you study St. John and read it chapter by chapter and verse by verse, if you will start and do so slowly and methodically and carefully, you're going to be amazed at what you begin to realize and what you begin to see. Never forget that old drunkard man living in the golf course vicinity of Belmont. His sister calls and said, "My brother wants to get right with God. He's out there in the woods. He's been an alcoholic for years, and he's just hung up on the alcohol lifestyle. But he wants to turn around." So she gave me his phone number. Had a cell phone out there, so I called him, and I said, "Gene, what can I do? Tell me how to get there. I don't want you to come, Reverend Chambers. I couldn't stand you to see me. I couldn't stand you to see where I'm at. Just tell me what to do." I said, "You got a Bible, Gene?" He said, "I sure have. My sister brought it to me." I said, "Gene, you get over there beside a stump. Get your log. Get you something to kneel at. And you start reading that book of John." And I said, "Don't you read nothing else. And don't you pray but one prayer. I want you to pray to see Jesus. I want you to yearn to see Jesus." Wasn't many, many days until he had an encounter with the Christ. He was wonderfully converted, wonderfully saved. You know, I've never looked on his face. I've never seen him. Never seen him. Started going to church over there in the Belmont area. Went to work for God. Every word I hear about him, he's just as faithful as the clock ticks, serving God. I had a state overseer playing golf there one day, and he saw him and asked him, could he help him? He said, No, I've already been born again. I just got saved. And he told him the story of reading the book of St. John. It had changed his life. I'm here to tell you this morning, be you saved or be you backslid or be you never have been saved, if you read the book of John and you read it methodically and carefully and just keep on reading, it won't be long until the Redeemer, the risen Lord, the mighty Savior will begin to show up in your thoughts and your consciousness. And before you know it, you're going to see Jesus. Maybe not see him physically. That's not even necessary. But you're going to see him spiritually. All right, let's look at this. St. John, the great book. Seven great times in this book. He teaches us the I am, of Jesus Christ. Let's go through some of them, will you? Turn in your Bible to the book of St. John. Let's go, if we might, in this case, to chapter 6. I want to read a verse or two so you get the context. Then Jesus saith unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not this bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven." I like that verse. The Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, "Lord, evermore give us this bread." How many would slip your hand up and say with me right here and now, "Evermore give me this bread"? Do you mind that? "Evermore, Lord, give me this bread. Oh, sir, give me this bread. I'm hungry for this bread. I'm hungry for such a appetite full of this bread that Joe Chambers is no longer left intact as far as the old flesh is concerned and the mortal man is concerned. But until Christ really becomes the bread of my life, he said, "Evermore give us this bread." And then he said, and Jesus said unto them, "I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst." Now that's the kind of salvation that people got back when I got saved. And some of you when you got saved. That's the kind of salvation that doesn't leave you bound to the old secular carnal man, but makes you bound to the risen living Christ. because he becomes the bread of your life. I am, he said, the bread of life. What was Jesus saying? To say to a people, I am the bread of life, easily misunderstood by biblically illiterate people, but understood by hungry men and hungry women who want something bigger and better than a steak or a bowl of vegetable soup or whatever the world may give you. I am, he said, the bread of life. He that liveth in me and he that eateth me shall never hunger and never thirst. I can say this morning with some of you, I don't know how many can say it with me, but I am satisfied with this wonderful, wonderful supply of the bread of life that has been given to my soul. And I desire nothing of this world. Money don't mean a hill of beans to me. I want him. Can you raise a hand and say, I want him? I want the bread of life. I want a satisfying portion of the living presence of the mighty Christ. I want him filling me and loving me and satisfying me and share his life with me. I am the bread of life. You got to understand that we're talking about a satisfaction of life that literally takes you by storm. I've seen quite a few people saved in my life. And every time I've ever seen somebody really get saved, and you knew they may have left a puddle of tears, or they may have just come, or it may have happened somewhere else, but they became centered on Jesus Christ. He became their satisfaction. You didn't have to beg them to be in church. I said to people many times, I have to go to church to be a Christian. You give your life to Christ, and you'll want to go to church. Because this is where the food is made manifest. Hallelujah. Is your church a place where food is freely supplied? Is your church a place where you can just raise up your heart and hands and have a satisfying portion of his love to go home at the end of a church service? I'm here to tell you, when you come to church, you ought to come with a hunger. Don't hunger after me. Don't hunger after my words. Don't hunger after the beautiful singing, as much as we all love it. I mean, we love it. We have some of the best. I love our singers. But I want to tell you something. I want the Christ of the song, not the song of the Christ. Can you say that with me? I want the Christ of the song, not the song of the Christ. Never said it like that before, but I kind of like that. I want the Christ of the song and not the song of the Christ. Oh, somebody raise a hand and help me. Brother Joe, I want the Christ of the song. I want the Christ of the song. I want his living presence. Oh, it's so wonderful. I am. Repeat that. I am. He said it. I am the bread of life. I'm your satisfaction. I want to tell you something. This world will never satisfy you. You can chase it until every nerve in your body is shattered. You can chase it until you are so fed up with life and you're so fed up with experiences among men. You can chase the life. You can chase the pleasure. You can chase the money. You can chase anything out there, and you can chase it until you're exhausted, and you'll be just as hungry when you get through chasing as you were when you started. Are you listening to me? But if you will go after the bread of life, if you will begin to chase the living Christ, if you will begin to passionately tell him how much you love him. When you start telling him how much you love him, you're going to find that even to you, your words sound hollow. But let me tell you what you do. You start, quit depending on your words and start praying the Holy Ghost will start putting those words in you. You start praying for a move of the Spirit of God that changes you from inside out instead of outside in. I tell you right now, as you begin to love him and feed on the bread of life, it won't be long until you'll feel fat and flourishing. Hallelujah. He'll make your life so exciting and full of joy. Hallelujah. Where's the joy in most churches? The joy is waiting for them to get hungry for the bread of life. Somebody say hallelujah. Oh, the bread of life. The bread of life. But it doesn't stop there. Move on a little farther. Let's go to St. John 8. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman. Know the story? They found her committed adultery. She was in the act of fornication or adultery. They found her in the act. They knew she was guilty. The law said, stone her to death. Stone her to death. Get rid of her. And so they brought her to Jesus. They brought her to Jesus. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he had said, who hath the first sin? Let him cast the stone. And nobody cast stones, and they all had disappeared. He saith unto her, woman, woman, where art those that accuse thee? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. And I've never tied this together. Then said Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. Listen to that. I've never read those two verses connected. Why? You know, I guess you're all guilty of reading certain passages and stopping at a certain point, and that becomes fixed in your mind that's what that verse says, and that's all it says. But here's this woman who's been caught in the act of adultery. She's lived a life of darkness. She's lived a life of sickness and physical maladies. She was a desperate woman. But Jesus said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. And then he said, very powerfully, I am the light of the world. That woman just came from a dark alley where she was involved in a case of fornication. And now she's standing in the presence of the light of the world. And he has forgiven her of her sins. And he sent her out to sin no more. She's a new creature. And then he says, I am the light of the world. Believe me, he was the light of the world. I'll guarantee you, if you saw that woman 15 minutes later, she would say, I just met the light of the world. Hallelujah. And she was a new creature. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Have you met the light of the world? Have you met the light of the world? Is there a flicker or is there a storm of light flooding into you? Much of the church world has but a flicker. Much of the church world sees a little bit of him occasionally. They feel a little bit of him when the church begins to feel a little bit of him. And usually they just stand there and kind of wonder about it all. But I'm here to tell you, he's the light of the world. He's able to send a beam of light into your very being that will light you up. Hallelujah. And you'll feel like you've had a strike of lightning from the heavenly realm. Hallelujah. Anybody want a strike of lightning this morning? Raise your hand and tell him, strike me, Lord. I want a move of lightning that lights up my life. He is the light of the world. He is the light of the world. Oh, what a story. What a picture. A woman who had been an adulteress was the first soul to hear Jesus say, I am the light of the world. Think about that. A woman out of the pit of adultery was the first ears to hear Jesus say. Everybody else said, look, go on. He wasn't speaking to nobody else. He was talking to her. I am the light of the world. And her life was changed. Reckon that was Mary Magdalene? Do you reckon? The Bible don't say. But her life was utterly changed. Let's move a little further. Let's go to chapter 10. I love this story. It's the story of Jesus. When he talks about the door. And he talks about those who can enter the door. And look at what he said in verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them again. Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. I am the door of the sheep. Now, church, you got to understand. He was not saying that just as some kind of rhetoric to fit a theological mindset. He was saying to those disciples who were listening to him, if you want to enter in where there's life, I'm the door. You don't need to go any further. You don't need to look into the realm of the schools of learning that were plentiful in Jerusalem. All you need to do is look toward me. I'm the door. I'm the door. I'll tell you something this morning. You're sick and sad and sorrowful. He's the door. You've had all of life. You can hardly stand. He's the door. Sin has played havoc with you. He's the door. Things are not going well. He's the door. I'm having a hard time in my responsibilities. He's the door. My marriage is not going good. He's the door. I want you to know he's the door to everything you have need of. He's the door to every place you need a blessing. He's the door to everything that will change your life. He's the door to everything that sets you free from sin and all this darkness. Say, Kahato! Woo! He's the door. Somebody raise a hand and say, he's the door. He's the door. I am the door. Oh, I love that. Life has not always been easy. But I've never been without the door in 67 years. How about you, Pastor Brother? The door. Everything you have need of is behind that door. Now think about this. As I move on, just a moment. Everything you need, all your supplies, all your help to get through the troubles of life, all your help in physical maladies. Wait a minute. The Holy Ghost shares with my heart that there's somebody in this building that I don't know about, but you've got a physical malady. You got a physical problem that's got you under great stress. And the Lord wants me to tell you that this morning he wants to heal you. And he wants to make that physical problem disappear from your life. And he wants to make you whole this morning. Somebody raise a hand. Okay, I'm not playing games with you. I wouldn't say these words if the Holy Ghost wasn't saying them for nothing in this place. But there's a physical problem in this building right now. And you're sitting there thinking, is he talking to me? And I would say, yes, I'm talking to you. And he wants to heal you. It's right behind the door. That miracle is on the other side of the door. Hallelujah. And if you go to, oh, Samoa, hallelujah. Somebody say, praise the Lord. How about saying, do it, Lord? I'm praying for God to heal that very dear person this morning. I'm not up here to tell you who it is. I don't know. I just know what he says. And he says, I'm ready to heal you. I'm ready to heal you. Or you say he's got to change something about me. I don't know anything about that. Maybe you got some old doubt in you. Maybe you got some aggravation in you. Maybe there's somebody you're disgusted with. Maybe there's somebody you just let yourself get all angry about. Whatever it is, get it out of there. Because there's a door right there where you are. I am the door. Woo! I like that. I like that. God told me he's going to start doing miracles like this church is not used to. It's time for miracles. And they're coming. Woo! That's so hard. I hope that person who God's talking to will get healed this morning. It's the horrible. Hallelujah. Oh, my brother. Oh, my brother, Chancy. I'm talking about Chancy number one, not number two. Brother, I'm telling you, he's a miracle worker. He's a miracle worker. He's able to do anything you have need of. He's a miracle. Oh, I've got a passion for him. Oh, I want you to know him like you've never known him. He's sick of that. Oh, I feel him. Oh, just raise your hand and love on him a minute. Oh, I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I don't have to preach anymore. I'm ready to quit when he gets ready. If you need a miracle, you don't have to wait. You can have a miracle. You can have a miracle. You can have a miracle. I said, you can have a miracle. It's on the other side of the door. Isn't that beautiful? If you knew the passion I have for you, if you know the desire I have that you learn to love me as you see how John loved me, if you will learn to understand that I am everything you have need of. There is nothing beyond me. I am sufficiency in totality, saith the Lord. Would you believe that with all your heart? I want you to stand up with me a minute. Let's just worship God. Hallelujah. I want to preach the rest of this sermon bad. But I want the Lord to have his way. That's more important than me. But I want to tell you, every miracle you need is on the other side of the door. No, sure, no more, I tell you. Oh, so many standing here in front of me, you're longing for something real. You've had all the world that you need, and it's never filled you yet. It's never satisfied you yet. The hunger is still there, and the hunger is only growing. That's all, it's just growing. And it will never quit growing until it consumes you and destroys you, because the only real answer is in the Christ. Raise your hands and tell him how much you love him. Forget to go, shut the hubber, quiet. I don't know who that person is that God wants to give a miracle to this morning, but I sure want you to have that miracle. I want you to have that miracle. And I'm just up here preaching. It's already 12 o'clock, but we're not in a hurry. But if you want to come get that miracle, just step out of your seat and head down these aisles. I'm coming for my miracle. I'm the one God's talking to. I'm ready to be healed. I'm ready to have a miracle. I'm ready to have something from God that's bigger than me. I've got a special lady, one of you singing and playing for me. Which one of you is it? Is it you? Hallelujah. I got a guest this morning. Come, and I think somebody's going to come with her. I'm not sure. Hallelujah. I love when guests come and they become part of us. And somebody told me she was wonderful to sing at an invitation. So play that piano and sing with all your heart, lady. With all your heart, ladies. Hallelujah. Now raise your hand and ask God to have his way. The invitation is extended. The sermon is over. I will finish it at some point. Now, you need a miracle. Get out of your seat. Come quickly. Oh, I hope not. Ah, I'm scared somebody's going to leave here that should have a miracle and don't. And there may be more than one. I have no idea. But I know one thing. The God of supernatural power is present to minister. He's present to heal. Out of your seat and come to Christ. Out of your seat and come before the great God. Hallelujah. Stand around these altars and we're going to have a prayer time together. Hallelujah. We're going to have a prayer time together. The miracle you need is behind the door. Is anybody hearing that? The miracle you need is behind the door. So come by faith and open the door. Sing, ladies. Sing with all your heart. Pull that mic up close. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, let's listen. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep your heart tuned to God. Come to pray. Everybody in this building now that needs something from Christ, would you come? In fact, everybody, would you please come? Whatever your need is, whatever your burden is, get behind somebody that needs a miracle. Get behind your dead back of the child. Hallelujah. 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 Brother Dylan, get behind the mother of the child. Hallelujah. Come, Brother Joe. Hallelujah. I want the rest of you to come to the altar. Your visitors, just step out and come. You're important to us. You're important for us. I am the rain, the bush for Abraham. I am the ultimate sacrifice for sin. Brother Derek, brother, listen to him. Hallelujah. 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 Lift your hands in the air. Oh, you're healed, sister. You're healed. It's done in the name of the Lord. It's done in the name of the Lord. It's done.
in the name of the Lamb. I want you to say,
I am Jehovah, I am
Jehovah. Oh, he's the door. He's the door. He's the door.
I'm David's offspring.
Turn around and say,
I am your high priest.
Hallelujah.
And
hallelujah.
I am the Christ. I am the resurrection. And
God wants to save her this morning.
I am.
hand all over the church. I love him. Love him. He's a miracle worker. He's a miracle worker. He's a miracle.
Shall walk and not faint. Oh, teach me, Lord.